Today on Real Life Radio.
We've been marked by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. Do you know that in your life? It's exciting to know. So He's our guarantee.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, this is Jack Hibbs here, and I want to encourage you to get our brand new book, Living in the Days of Deception. This book is specifically written to help you and I navigate these very deceptive times. Here's a special offer. Yes, it is available wherever books are sold. However, right here at jackhibbs.com, if you order it here with us, you will get and only get right here 4 video teachings where I address certain aspects of the book with you personally. And so we look forward to you getting your own copy, Living in the Days of Deception, right here at jackhibbs.com, and you can get the 4 exclusive bonus teachings as well.
Living in the Days of Deception by Jack Hibbs is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. Once again, jackhibbs.com/D-A-Z-E. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Worlds in Collision. Now, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, Bible history has recorded some epic battles, battles between brothers, battles between kings, and so on. But when faith collides with unbelief, well, it's a battle for our souls. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that the world is in constant battle for our minds and for our hearts, but only Jesus offers us a life of peace. Now, with his message called Worlds in Collision, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Church, get ready. Are you guys awake? Get ready. Write these verses down. We're going to go fly through these verses. Faith is able to receive. Yes, faith is able to know, and faith causes us to be able to rejoice. Number one is this. Watch this. It's fun stuff. And you leave this building today more confident because of it. John 14:16. Jesus said, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper, the Parakletos, that he may abide with you forever. Notice he, personal pronoun. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You analyze those few verses right there. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit's coming. He is God, and I'm not going to leave you alone. No, notice, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and oh, by the way, I will be with you. How in the world, in this world, can Jesus be with you and I right now? By the person of the Holy Spirit. Why? God is one. Isn't that fun to think about? You say, well, wait a minute, where's the Father? On the throne in heaven. Where is the Son? He's on the throne seated next to the Father. But wait a minute, I thought you said he was in my heart. He is. Wait, how can he be in this place? He's God. Here's the scary thing. The unbelieving heart, he's outside of, near your shoulder, like Jiminy Cricket, saying, hey, you need Jesus. Isn't it amazing to think? This is almost kind of poetic, but I could argue this theologically true. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, but is he present in your heart? You've got to let him in. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed, stamped, tattooed, if you would, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What in the world does that mean? Those of us who are Christians walking around this world, we've got a tattoo on us. And the tattoo is owned by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, who can see it? Only the believer. Where is it? Huh? Where's it at? God can see it. We've been marked by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. Do you know that in your life? It's exciting to know. So he's our guarantee. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Bible says, as I read earlier, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So it's a liberated life. It's a lordship life. Look at lordship. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Every believer right here, right now, has been adopted by God into the family of God. And he's personal. As I read earlier, Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. But keep this in mind. Galatians 4 verse 5, he's the gift. The Bible says in Galatians 4 5, so that he might redeem those who were under the law. That is, every human being on earth is under the judgment of the law of God, condemned. That we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son. Look at the capital S in your Bible. The Holy Spirit of his son into your hearts. What's the result? You cry out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a what? Son. Are you excited about this? Is it just me? This is awesome. You guys can go out of here today absolutely resilient to the world that's around you. Because listen, when the world comes picking on you, you say, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. So you know what? You take that thing. This lady came up to me last week. She goes, my husband's having a terrible time with pornography. I go, where's he getting that from? She goes, from the computer, from the internet. And I said, was it important to you? She goes, this is going to destroy my marriage. And it will. What do I do? I said, take the computer and throw it in the yard. She goes, just bring it back in. I go, bust it up. Well, come to find out, she had a swimming pool. That'd do it. Take the computer. And she was afraid. She said, he'll go crazy. So you know what? Let him go crazy. In fact, call 911 right before you throw it in the pool. Think about that. It's all over the news right now. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe Satan's trying to wake us up to something. But have you noticed people have been finding snakes on their porches and stuff across America? Rattlesnakes, boa constrictors, people finding snakes on their doors. I hate snakes. What's with that? Why is a snake coming to the door of somebody's house? Would somebody open the door? Honey, a rattler. Come on in. Somebody put the little mouse guts on the ground. Let them come on in. You would never do that. And yet chatting with your little boyfriend from high school. What are you doing? I'd rather let a rattlesnake into my house than your old boyfriend from high school. Well, we're just chatting. That's how people get pregnant. That's how divorce comes. That's how you have an affair. Wow. Number two, verses 13 to 14 is this. When the spiritual hits the physical. Wow. Worlds in collision. When the spiritual hits the physical, the spiritual, listen, goes deeper. The spiritual goes deeper, and it can go deeper. The physical world cannot go deep. Verse 13 says, these things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Note the contrast. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Theologians, by the way, differ as to the exact meaning of verse 13. What is the word usage and why is it spoken this way? Simply this. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. The word here is where we get the word pneumatic. Pneuma, spirit, or wind-driven, matic, movement. The Spirit of God teaches. What? He teaches the truth to those who are of the Spirit, relating spiritual things with spiritual things, meaning the Spirit of God is teaching you, the believer, every day, every time you crack open the Bible. Listen, every time you look through God glasses and you're in the mind meditation of God, God's going to be speaking to you about stuff. The Holy Spirit will do that, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But one thing's for sure, even though theologians disagree as to what exactly, is it God speaking to the believer or is it the Bible, backing up the Bible. Hey, listen, I'm not going to split hairs. It's all good news, all of that. But this they agree on, that it's the Holy Spirit that reveals truth to the children of God. That's his method, to reveal truth. The word spiritual here, it's powerful. Are you of the Spirit? Are you outside the physical? Are you wind-driven, as it were, Spirit-driven? We also get the word supernatural from this. You and I are Christians now, living in a world, and listen, I want to say this. I'm hearing too much about this part-time Christianity junk. You're either Christian 24/7 or you're not at all. Stop goofing around with yourself. Stop trying to fool yourself. Well, you know what? On Wednesday, I'm going to stop being a Christian. Listen, you don't decide to be a Christian 24/7 because God has saved you for real. You are a Christian 24/7. Now, having said that, check this out. Way back when, Emmanuel Velikovsky, you can look him up. You can read about him. He's a Russian physicist, dead and gone now. Way back late 1880 something or rather, I don't know. But anyway, studying physics, Emmanuel Velikovsky said, you know what? He's not a believer. He said, you know what? Physical and spiritual, the spiritual realm, there's so much in our world that we cannot see that I could see why people think spiritual thoughts, he said. And when he began to study physics and he became the brilliant man that he was. Now, this is very unorthodox to think, but it's more theoretical physics. Now, watch this. He said, it is possible that the world that you and I live in, listen, everybody, you're with me. The world that you and I live in right here, right now, is to us very real. Why? Because we are here. But he said, if you would slightly alter the molecular structure of things, let's say everything moves left just a nanosecond of a movement, then what happens? Then he said, a train could be going through this sanctuary right now, going 80 miles an hour, with people reading, sipping tea, reading a magazine, going through the sanctuary with just a slight molecular change of this physical universe that you and I know.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
It is theoretically possible. But for the Christian, we go, yep, uh-huh. We know this because the Bible says that when the Word of God, by the way, is presented, angels look into those things which are being presented. The Bible warns us that you and I better be careful how we treat a stranger because many have entertained an angel without being aware of it. What happens? Angels, not demons, but angels in the Bible have the power to appear and disappear at will. In the physical realm. So could Emmanuel Velikovsky be too far off? I think he was flirting with thoughts of eternity. Worlds in collision. What you do, why you do it, and for whom you do it speaks about your invisible commitment. Why do you do what you do? If you live this life to be successful and to leave your kids an empire, what's the meaning to that? Are they going to crash your empire? Are they going to spend all your money? Are they capable? But if you lead your kids, and I'm not knocking being successful, God bless you if you're, God has blessed you if you're successful. But what are you going to do with those treasures that God has given you? It matters. Why? Because there's a spiritual world and a physical world. And only the Christian rightly understands that there's a physical and spiritual world, and we have chosen to elevate the spiritual existence over the physical. You and I today must decide to have our physical world be a subservient tool to the spiritual world in which you and I represent. I'm speaking to you right now. I have vocal cords. I have a tongue. All this stuff's working. It's the Spirit using the physical apparatus to speak spiritual truth. In a second, I could talk about airplanes. Love airplanes. I could talk about aeronautics, but that would not be spiritual. I'm now choosing to use the tool that God has given me to speak about things other than spiritual things. But the fuck, watch this. But the moment I do that, listen, atheist, unbeliever, agnostic, evolutionist, the moment I do that, talk about aeronautics, eventually I'm going to deal with the laws of God that he's created. I've got to come back to God. I've got to be understanding that when I'm flying along in the clouds and it's stormy and you can't see out the window, you got to put faith in the instruments. And no one stops in that moment and says, you know what? I'm not going to believe these things. Can you imagine your pilot? You're landing in an LAX. I landed into LAX recently. It was foggy. And you can hear the computer flying the plane. You could hear it. Can you imagine that pilot? I'm not going to believe this stuff. I'm going to pull up. Oh, no, that guy's like this, man. He's trusting the computer. Can you imagine? He's got 300 people on the plane. He's going to trust the computer? I don't know how computers work in your life, but they don't work in my life. You realize, think about that. Any law in this universe, you say, yep, that's what I believe in. I believe in this. And you're going to leave God out of it? Why don't you be an expert on that law that you're claiming to love? It will bring you to the knowledge of God. Think about that. It's the things of the Spirit. It's the things of God that will take you deeper. Jesus said in John 14:26, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Wow. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. What an amazing thing. What an awesome thing that is. Very, very powerful. Also this, verse 14, spiritual things. Spiritual goes further. Spiritual goes further. The natural man, that is the man without God, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He can't receive. Why? You know, it's the first point. Unbelief. He's unbelieving. He can't receive the things of God. And this is the tragic truth. The person who says, I don't believe in God. You watch this. Imagine an atheist goes out, or an unbeliever goes out on a limb of a tree, turns around and begins to saw the branch that he's sitting on. Every stroke he makes with that blade, the closer he is to peril, right? The closer he is to falling down. Think about this for a moment. The spiritual goes further than the physical can. And when the physical, which is the world identified by doubt and unbelief, says, I don't believe this. I don't believe that. I don't believe this. Every blade movement until you stand in the proverbial cement so long declaring why you don't believe this. And I don't believe that. And I know until the cement hardens and you cannot get out. You know what happens, you guys? This is what happened to Pharaoh. God gave Pharaoh the chance to get out. Pharaoh stood in the cement until the cement sets. And then when that happens, you will not be able to convince, witness, or get somebody out of their unbelief. They are sealed for destruction. So be careful what you joke around about regarding, I can't believe in God because of this and because of that. How about this? The spiritual goes beyond. It does, and not only goes further, it goes beyond. Beyond. That's why it's spiritual. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The unbelieving man will never understand the things of this world, nor the things of the Spirit. And it's the unbeliever that's got the biggest mouth, attacking belief, attacking faith, making fun of. And you can show them the evidence and they will not believe. Listen, Jesus said it himself. He said, I'm telling you now, even if somebody rose from the dead, they would not believe. Wow. The believer, Christian today, see this word discern? Listen to this. They are spiritually discerned. This is what the word is in the original Greek. Spiritually scrutinized. Christians are to spiritually scrutinize everything. To spiritually investigate. To spiritually interrogate. The word means to spiritually apprise. Or to give an appraisal of what's going on around you. Judge it. Christian, judge what's happening. Judge what you're hearing. In light of what? Your judgment? Are you kidding me? In light of the Word of God. Let the Bible judge. This is kind of fun. You guys, you want to put this slide up on the screen? Robert Jastrow. Check this out. Keep it on the screen. Let me give you a little bit of background. My dad had told me years and years ago, my brother and I told us, he said, you know, someday we're going to go see my second cousin. He's right up here at Pasadena. For years, I grew up hearing about Albert Hibbs. If you're a rocket scientist, you know who Albert Hibbs is. Albert Hibbs was a senior fellow at Jet Propulsion Laboratory. You can Google him. He is a genius. And we were related to him. I don't know where I was when they handed out the brains, but apparently Albert Hibbs got all the brains. But Albert Hibbs worked with Robert Jastrow on the lunar space program. Who's Robert Jastrow? Well, Robert Jastrow, NASA astronomer, graduate of Columbia University with numerous doctorates in theoretical physics, chairman of NASA's Lunar Exploration Committee, director of Goddard Space Center, professor of Earth Sciences at Dartmouth, and director of the Mount Wilson Observatory here in California. Quote, theologians generally are delighted with the proof that the universe had a beginning. But astronomers are curiously upset. It turns out that the scientists behaves the same or the way the rest of us do when our beliefs are in conflict with the evidence. Next slide. For the scientist who has lived by his faith, stop right there. Scientist, are you a scientist today? You live by faith. Everyone lives by faith. For the scientist who lives by faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance, and he is about to conquer the heights peak, the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. That's the director of NASA's Space Center, Goddard. The more you pursue the things that God has given you in this world, you will either with unbelief come to the conclusion that your world in collision is a world that has been manipulated by you and how you want it to turn out. But their truth and their reality is the story. We've read the Bible. We know how it ends. And that's a great truth. That's a great excitement. Third and final point here is verses 15 to 16. When worlds are in collision, it's when knowledge hits ignorance. Knowledge discovers. Verse 15 says, but he who is spiritual judges all things. Christian, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you can stand up straight and you can read between the lines and you can know what's going on over the hill, as it were, spiritually. The Holy Spirit will talk to you. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, start nurturing that quiet, still, small voice relationship between you and the Lord. Let him speak to you. When you meet somebody, let God speak to you. Let them talk. Listen. Judge them, not condemn them. Judge them, scrutinize, evaluate, appraise in light of God's word. Knowledge discovers. Not only that, verse 16 tells us that knowledge knows. Sounds kind of funny, huh? But knowledge knows. God-given knowledge allows you and I to know. For he who has known the mind of the Lord? Answer is, that's impossible. That he may instruct him. Who's going to tell God what to do? Nobody. Why? Because we don't know the mind of God. And here is a radical, radical teaching Paul gives by opposite or contradiction. You see that word but? Can you circle it? You ought to circle it in your Bible several times until it's a black ring around it. But we have the mind of Christ. We need to really stop goofing off with our faith and get dead serious. Here's the reason why. There should be no weak, wounded, wimpy, whining Christians when you read that verse. Do you have a problem? I don't care what it is. We have all got problems. But when I read that closing verse, who hath known the mind of the Lord or been his instructor? Answer screams throughout the eternity. Nobody can instruct God. Then he turns right around to the believer and says, hey, you faith-filled follower of Christ, you have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? If we really believe him and have faith in God, our world will be in collision with an unbelieving world constantly. If you want it easy, go to the beach. Christianity is at war with unbelief, and it's tough. It's amazing. It's brutal. Guess what? Keep reading. We win. In fact, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God into the day of redemption. Technically, we've already won. We need to get up and act like it instead of wandering around whining. All the things that have victimized you and the people that have hurt you along the way. You know what? No one wants to hear you. No one wants to listen to your drivel any longer. Because you know what? We're trying to follow Jesus. And listen, in a marriage, stop pointing fingers at each other. Stop it. Get up. Follow Christ. Well, what if he... Stop it. Get up. You follow Jesus. If he doesn't want to follow Jesus, you follow him anyway. Well, what about my kids and my teacher, my school, my world, my thing, my... Follow him. Have faith in God. And understand something. You've got the ability to pick up the Bible and know what the mind of Jesus is on this issue, on that thing. Yeah, some of you have it or used to have it on your bracelet. What would Jesus do?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. here on Real Life Radio with his message called Worlds in Collision. We sure appreciate you being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace. But daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.